Again, honourable members and our guests. Honourable Minister and the MEC and DG, we are meeting today following a process which is a parliamentary process out of a process that emanated from KZN around the issue of challenges. We'll say challenges in oncology and subsequently a complaint raised late in the Human Rights Commission, and Human Rights Commission conducted its work. If members will be will remember, is that last week a Human Rights Commission, through following parliamentary processes, we came in front of the committee to make a presentation. We listened to that presentation. We asked questions of clarity, and we were clear that we will then, it is going to be important for us to listen to the Department of Health in KZN that has been cited in the whole process. So that's where we are now. But it will also, remember that it's both the Department of KZN Health and the National Department, but want to remind, if members will remember that the Human Rights Commission Chair did apologize in their report reflecting the National Department of Health, which he did say that in fact they haven't, there was never a communication or an interaction or an interview with the department or the National Department of Health, and they did say that he said that was an error. They apologized about that, but nevertheless, as you will know, that in any province, if there is a challenge of the magnitude, we always will invite the ministry and the teacher and the whole team. So that's why the National Department of Health is here led by the National Minister, Honorable Aaron Zwalit. So that is where we are. But it's also important that before we raise the matter, alert that even in the last sitting, we were joined by the, I'm saying joined, by the member of the legislature of KZN. But even at that time, we made it clear that he is not to participate because this is the committee of the National Assembly. He's a guest, fine, but he understood that that is the situation until and unless there is a process that will made us to seem deemed fit to have a joint sitting with the select committee where of the National Council of Churches. I'm sorry, National Council of Provinces. I won't hear Ambanjitawa. You, the Christians, so. No, sorry for that. So we just want to make it understood for the benefit of those that were not here in the last sitting, that if at the appropriate time of him introducing himself, it's at that time that the name will be known. I don't want to waste time. Safe to say, before we go into the introductions, for the benefit of those that may be coming for the first time in the committee, cellular phones are to be on silent. It's only members that will ask questions after presentations, and it's only presenters that will respond to questions when they are asked. If we have a break, you can ask anybody. But at the normal sitting of the portfolio committee, that is what then that happens. So only members of the media that are to take photos. In one committee, I saw a guest taking photos and I got a fright. So I always put it up front, those that are in the media, and people will tell us where they are coming from, which media houses they are coming from. We will then come to the introduction. I'm Lindelwa Tunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. On my left is Vuyokazi Majalamba, who's the secretary of the committee. At the back, on the far left, is Lindokuhle, who's our content advisor. Zubair, who is our researcher. Next to him is Asanda, who's the researcher of the study group of the African National Congress. I don't see the others. When they come in, we will then introduce them. Over to you, honourable members.
Dimelanga ofela nna le bitso la ka ke ntate Maisela wa ba Maisela ke se loko la komiti ya tsa bophelo mo parlamenteng ke a leboga.
No, good morning everybody, my name is Fish Mahlalela.
Good morning Chair, good morning Minister, MEC, DG and all colleagues. My name is A.M. Sheikh Imam and a member of this committee.
Good morning everybody, Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, member of the Committee on Health. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody in the room. My name is Lungiswa James, member of this committee.
Dumelang, good morning. My name is Patricia Kopani. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Minister.
Oh, sorry.
Sanibonani, igama lami nguNonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba, oyimember yale committee.
Morning Chair, morning member. My name is Mbulelo Nkonzo, member of the committee.
Sanibonani, Donald Maphanga, member lale committee.
Over to you, MEC and Minister, for the introduction of your teams.
Good morning. I'm Sibongiseni Dlomo, the MEC for Health in KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Thandeka Khanyile from KwaZulu-Natal, CEO of Inkosi Albert Luthuli Central Hospital.
Good morning, Aaron Motsoaledi, Minister of Health.
Malibona Precious Matoso, DG of Health.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Valerie Rene. I'm Head of Corporate Services, National Health.
Good morning, members. Steve Mkasi, Chief Director, Legal Services, Provincial Department of Health, KwaZulu-Natal.
My name is Joe Khatla, Ministry of Health. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joe Mailam, the spokesperson for the Department of Health.
Good morning. Bob Govender, Mediclinic.
Imran Kika, a member of the KZN Legislature and the complainant in this matter.
Natasha Pansler, researcher for the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, I'm Lynette Said, from the Office on Institutions Supporting Democracy in the Office of the Speaker.
I'm Chantal Presence from the African News Agency.
Good morning. My name is Temi Oluwole. I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning. I'm Len Deacon from Len Deacon and Associates, LDA.
Good morning. Linda Zonde from MEC, Voice of the MEC, KZN.
No, thank you.
Molweni, igama lam ndingucakazi from the Office of the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sandhya Singh. I'm with the Ministry of Health, NCD Cluster.
Good morning. I'm Tamar Khan from Business Day Newspaper.
Good morning, honored members. My name is Cindy Lesodlaga from National Department of Health, Office of the DG.
No, thank you. We are joined by Moses, who is part of the research team of the Portfolio Committee, and at the extreme left is Bali, who is the committee assistant. Thank you very much. We will then now hand over to the MEC from the Department of Health in KZN to take us through.
Thank you very much, our Chair. And good morning to the Minister, our members of the Portfolio Committee, DG, and all leaders in the House. Maybe by the time we finish, Honourable Chair, I might just apologize. The screens might be showing this. The memory stick that is here with Dr. Kanyile is not the one that the document was saved on, but we have a document that will take the members through. We would have liked to have the same presentation beamed up there. We want to really indicate up front, Honourable Chair, that we have had a lot of support in actually working on this program, largely from the National Office, from the Minister, and also taking a lead in actually supporting and working with us on some of the challenges that are there, including the support that we also receive and guided by the Premier in the province. So the document that we are presenting is an update of a report that has now been sent to the Public Service, to the Human Rights Commission. We did not bore you with the details of what we have been sent. We have sent over a series of documents to the Human Rights Commission, starting from the 20th of July, where we expected to have a 10-day report after the release, and then 4 days later they needed another report, and on the last day of the 30 days we had to send in a batch of documents. So we then have been engaging with the Human Rights Commission, and they wanted an update on some of the recommendations that they had actually put down on that document. So we are updating the honourable members on the progress that we are making since then we have been interacting. So we want to say, as we start, that the report aims to give a progress report on interventions that were instituted following the recommendations of the Human Rights Commission regarding the status of oncology services in KwaZulu-Natal. In terms of the South African Human Rights Commission report, there are three areas under which continuous monitoring will take place to remedy the situation. And these are the three that we have mentioned here. It's the progress that we should or we are making on the repairs of the machine, whether patients are continuously being managed, and the third one, what is our process in the recruitment of the specialists called oncologists. So we actually pulled it there. That bold one is actually the way it was actually put as a statement from the Human Rights Commission. Now, we wanted to say, we then indicate that on the 28th of July, where we last reported to the Human Rights Commission, where we sent a whole host of batches there, we recapped that the manufacturers of these machines that we have at Addington, with Varian, came to actually to attend to the assessment of these two machines and thereafter provide a quotation before entering into an agreement with the department to fix. So that report, we sent it as that, and it would be expected, therefore, maybe that we give progress on that. That these machines have since been assessed, and the thorough report was presented in the middle of August this year. The report was discussed with the department, after which Varian, the department, was given different quotations, after which the department then was given by Varian different quotations accompanied by different options. There are mainly two options that we actually would present here which became viable. The first option was to repair and upgrade software machine, software of both machines, and then sign a five-year service maintenance agreement for a period of 5 years. The second option was to repair and upgrade the software on one of the machines that has less work to be done on it, and then compared to the second one, and then procure a new machine which has a better technology compared to the current machines. Now, you probably might have picked up in the report that the supply chain of the Department of Health in KwaZulu-Natal has got challenges, which have been reported even to Cabinet in KwaZulu-Natal, and therefore had a decision taken to Cabinet to have the Treasury supporting us in actually fine-tuning and really getting us going on the supply chain. That has already been taken care of, and there was a decision taken by Cabinet about 2 months ago. And the National Department has also sent a task team led by the DDG Corporate Services, Ms. Valerie, to be part of that team that is strengthening the supply chain. So that is the leadership that is there on the ground now, currently working on finalizing this process. And we are advised that the second option seems to be the best option, to go in immediately and repair this one machine and upgrade this software, but the other one be replaced, because the cost effectiveness of doing it that way, as advised by these leaders, seems to be the best option. And therefore, this has to be finalized, and maybe Ms. Valerie will comment this week or very early. Now, there was therefore a second part, which what are you doing with a patient? So the patient management, so where that bold is written by the Human Rights Commission, adopt a management plan to deal the backlog through, among others, entering into PPP arrangements with private oncologists, medical officers, radiotherapists, and oncology nurses. So the subsequent paragraphs are then addressing that part. And we start by saying, and we were not aware until there are three oncology centers. We were not aware until the minister made us to be aware of this fact, that in fact, with the challenge that we face, we have three oncology centers in that province. And we will also report on the potential fourth site that we already have in the province, where they provide both chemo and radiotherapy. And these being one, Inkosi Albert Luthuli Hospital, number two, Grace Hospital, and three, currently Addington Hospital. As we are reporting, Honourable Chair, a new site has been established in the North Coast where chemotherapy provided by the state is administered by private oncologists from the Joint Medical Holdings. We'll probably expand on that in the subsequent paragraphs. Let's start with Grace Hospital. At the Grace Hospital, there's one linear accelerator machine which is operational, and the institution has got four full-time oncologists. And these include the head of unit and three specialists and three medical officers. Grace Hospital treats on average 100-120 patients per day. These are patients who come from within the greater Umgungundlovu district, as well as the other districts higher up, Uthukela, Newcastle, which is Mzinyathi, and Amajuba, the entire Midlands of KwaZulu-Natal, up to the borders of the Free State, Mpumalanga provinces, as well as Lesotho. When you move to Inkosi Albert Luthuli, which has got three linear accelerators machines, we will need to report here now that the two are functioning properly well, and the one has just been decommissioned to be replaced with a new machine. But because we have a PPP there, the replacement of such machines is already envisaged, and therefore it's a matter of a month or two, as I'm indicated here, that in November this third machine will then kick in Inkosi Albert Luthuli. We acknowledge and report that there are no full-time, I just mentioned full-time, there are no full-time oncology specialists at this hospital, but there's some other information coming in regards. There's a vacancy of a head, of course, and three oncology specialists in that hospital, which then to be filled. The hospital continues to function because it has got machines. The hospital currently functions with 5 field medical officer posts, and 2 additional medical officer posts will start in the 1st of October. And these ones that we are mentioning here are quite senior medical officer posts who will need an advice and a support, even sometimes off-site by the oncologists. We also mentioned that there are a total of 7 registrars who have written exams and are waiting for their... The 2 of them have written their final exams and they are waiting their oral exams, which will be finalized, I was informed, in the middle of September. The department has approached these 2 registrars who are to complete and has made a conditional offer to them of a job, which they've accepted, of course, subject to then completing the examination. What then happens, again, is that the head clinical unit from Grace Hospital supervises and oversees the services at Nkosi Albert Luthuli. Physically, he comes there, and sometimes he does the telephone. Like I'm saying, there are senior registrars there and medical officers who would need that support from an outside off-site leader. He visits Nkosi Albert Luthuli once every Thursday to see patients, assist with training of the registrars, and provide general guidance to the junior doctors. The other part, which is currently happening, there's a total of 6 private oncologists. From Rainbow, there's 4, and JMH, there are 2. JMH is also a group of oncologists on private, who do sessional work in the hospital daily, and they cover the entire week, Monday to Friday. As part of their work, they participate in the multidisciplinary clinics and sign off planning and contouring of tumors for the patients. They assist us to deal with the current backlog. On average, this hospital continues to see between 120 and 140 patients a day, with this team of private oncologists on the ground supervising, assisting, and supporting the senior registrars there. Number 3, Addington Hospital. As already discussed above, the 2 linear accelerators will be commissioned once the repairs and replacement process is completed, which we have reported above. And we report something that is also in the out there, that there are no current oncologists placed at Addington. However, and Addington is about 1 or 2 kilometers away from Nkosi Albert Luthuli. We're raising this thing because of this support that would come and shoot and will is there. There are 2 specialists and 2 medical officer posts that would be filled in while the machines are being commissioned. The radiotherapy staff from Addington Hospital have been combined with the Nkosi Albert Luthuli Hospital staff and are currently based at Nkosi Albert Luthuli. And we only have 1 vacancy of radiotherapy. But even at Addington Hospital, in the absence, was Honorable Chair, people will know how to treat and look after cancer patients will know that there's not just 1 bullet radiotherapy. There are 20 to 30 patients on average that are seen at this hospital to receive chemotherapy administered by the medical officer that rotates. These patients require radiotherapy, then get transferred to Nkosi Albert Luthuli for the completion or for the progress of treatment. So the absence of the machine at Addington Hospital working and the absence of the oncologist here still leaves us with some work being done by the medical officers in terms of chemotherapy and then transfer and get support to do. So that process is just waiting for the machines then to complete. So, in fact, you would actually say even if get a full-time oncologist. So once you get a full-time at Nkosi Albert Luthuli or anywhere in Durban, and these machines are repaired, so those both of them will function. Because we could actually say for now, Addington is functioning half of what it's supposed to do. It gives you chemotherapy and does not complete the process of radiotherapy because the machines that are there will not give you that. That gets transferred to be done at Nkosi Albert Luthuli. We want to record and mention that maybe from the challenges we faced, something new has come up, which is, and Honorable Minister, this is a potentially a fourth site in KwaZulu-Natal of a new treatment of cancer for patients. That we have already reported about the JMH doctors who are based in around the Thekwini supporting us in KwaZulu-Natal, but they have another unit that they have at Richards Bay. And this, the private oncologists from the JMH group consult patients, screen them, and diagnose and refer them to our own hospital, Ngwelizane and Long Follows, for further management. This started in the 1st of July. So this is something that we already planned. It didn't come as something that was a reactive story. It was a planned process to say, by the way, patients from Mangozi, which is a border of Mozambique, sick as they may be, travel 4 hours to get to Durban. Is that good to do? Can't we begin to establish a place around Ngwelizane Richards Bay, which is at least 2 hours, and cut the other 2 hours going to Durban? And so this was already our plan long before, and it came in now. But before we can do that, it's dependent on, do you buy machines at Ngwelizane? Yes, you can. But if you don't have oncologists, so the presence of the JMH team of private oncologists and the support that they will give will now able to help us to dispatch senior medical officers to work at Ngwelizane and Long Follows to do this part. So once these patients have been assessed, chemotherapy is ordered and supplied by the department and administered to the patients. KZN Treasury has granted the department a deviation of contracting new JMH for a fee to offer radiotherapy to patients in North Coast. While we have advertised for that, and Ms. Valerie will fine-tune that, we are confident that it's unlikely that there's going to be another private team of oncologists who would want to offer this service. But so meanwhile, Treasury has agreed that go in for 3 months, let them do the work, advertise, and get someone who will offer this support service. If there is, well and good, then you can actually adjudicate. If there's nobody, then these people who have already started in the 3 months deviation given by Treasury will then continue. This contract, the contract will cater for 100 to 150 patients per month, which will already ease the backlog and stop patients moving in from Nongoma, Manguzi, and all other areas. We were therefore also asked, what is the process of the department at the provincial level in collaboration with the national department is required to develop a strategy to meet the current medical staff challenges in KwaZulu-Natal? So that is what is bolded there. We are indicating that we have advertised the post of Nkosi and 3 oncologists and in February, and again 24th and 10th of July. These posts were also advertised on the National Sunday newspapers on the 20th of August. All these efforts have so far not given us any successes. The hospital has, however, engaged 2 registrars that I've mentioned above that are completing their training as specialists. They have indicated they are willing to really work and support us there. I think the other matter which is very important to mention here is what the minister has always been really stressing to us, to say, really, until you develop a comprehensive strategy of retention of your staff, tomorrow is going to be oncologists. I mean, today is oncologists. Tomorrow is going to be urologists. The other day is going to be radiologists. What have you got in place? I want to actually indicate that we want to make a submission here, Honorable Chair, that a successful retention strategy of specialists in the department is dependent on strengthening the mutual beneficial relationship between the department and the University of KwaZulu-Natal Nelson Mandela School of Medicine. And this is premised on the joint, on the functional joint medical agreement. I did not write some of the issues here that in my other previous life, I was employed by the University of KwaZulu-Natal Medical School. And at the time I came to the university, there were tensions that were there between both the medical school and Department of Health. And we worked to actually smoothen those tensions. By the time I left the university, there were monthly meetings taking place, headed by Professor Green Thompson as the head of department. And those meetings delegated to myself. Sometimes I was reporting to the dean, and if the dean is there, the dean will chair and sit in those meetings jointly, because there is something that is now established as a joint medical establishment. It means a medical specialist provides service and actually makes sure that these patients that are here needing the specialist care are being cared for. But over and above that, the same warm body provides teaching to junior, undergraduate, and postgraduate. So it is a benefit for both parties to find that this thing works. And I can actually here not hide that those, when I was looking into, was those are management processes. And when I was looking into the minutes of some of the meetings that they held, I actually been embarrassed to find inconclusive decisions that are being taken. They don't come to decide. And therefore, if we have a specialist who would think, should I not come to KwaZulu-Natal when there is no stability in terms of my employment, they will choose not to come. So we are actually saying it is largely embedded on this. Once this thing has actually been realized, both by the medical school has its own challenges in terms of leadership, but we also must admit that in our own department, management should and must not really be indecisive about these issues, but it creates that type of a situation. And I think that is cutting across all specialists. Well, these are very few and far between. And if I don't get to hear that I'm going to be stable and treated very well, then sometimes a lot of them vote with their feet. We have about 50 oncologists working in and around eThekwini that are private. And of course, maybe we are really grateful about the support that some of them are giving us here and there, because almost all of them were trained in our public hospitals. Now, we just thought we should mention this in closing, Honourable Chair, that the generic service level agreements for maintenance of medical equipment across now, not only and doesn't have been finalized. The department is currently analyzing the assessment reports before these agreements are signed. Due to the vast number of involved equipment, the assessment needs to be done carefully and priced correctly. We anticipate that this process will be completed within the month of September, after which these service level agreements will be signed with the various service providers. The department is also working with the Provincial Treasury and National Department of Health to prioritize the procurement of essential health technology medical equipment. So this part, therefore, that says we hear about the oncology machines today, aren't we going to hear about other machines next month? Are you not coming back to tell us another story? So we are therefore closing by saying the presence of DDG Valerie from the National Department of Health, together with the Provincial Treasury, in supporting us to say, let's get done over with terms of equipment across the province, in terms of delegations of powers to hospitals to procure, is something that is going to take this behind us, also the funding. So, Honourable Chair, that is our comprehensive report with regards to what are we doing since we were then alerted and asked by the Human Rights Commission to work on the recommendations. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Dlomo. We will now hand over to the Minister so that when then we ask questions, having got all the... Can I establish our documents from the National Department of Health circulated? Whilst we are connecting, can this document be circulated, please, to members?
Chairperson, I'm ready.
Thank you, Minister. I think all members do have the document.
We are circulating one document and two annexures.
Okay.
Annexure one and annexure two.
Do you want to start?
Yeah.
Annexure, thank you. Over to you.
Yeah, Chairperson, the National Department was invited by this portfolio committee to appear before you today on this 6th of September to account on what we have done on the KwaZulu-Natal situation since the release of the report of the South African Human Rights Commission on the 15th of June. At least that's the letter we have received from you, Chairperson. We wish to state that the National Department in the Human Rights Commission report, as you said, is only cited in two places. It's cited on the recommendations at 10.2.3, where it is said that the department at provincial level, in collaboration with National Department of Health, is required to develop a strategy and or program to meet the current medical staffing challenges in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. It then goes on to say the department must provide the commission with its human resource retention plan and immediate action to attract and retain the relevant oncologists, radiologists, and other skills and specialties in the area of oncology, and details of the service level agreement for the maintenance of health technology machines at Addington Hospital and Nkosi Albert Lithuli. The second area where the National Department decided is on recommendation 10.2.6, where they say the department, in collaboration with the National Department of Health, again, is required to prioritize the procurement of essential health technology machines for screening, diagnosing, and treating cancer. So, Chairperson, will confine ourselves to these recommendations where they say the National Department must get involved. I must mention, Chairperson, that as a National Department, we were actually not aware of this investigation by the Human Rights Commission. As they explained to you, I understand, when they were here 2 weeks ago, nobody was interviewed, but apart from that, we were just not aware that there is such an investigation going on. We became aware when it was reported on or published on the 15th of June. But I will tell you why I'm mentioning that. On the 5th of May, that means long before the release of the report of the Human Rights Commission, before we even knew that there was such an investigation, doctors of South African Medical Association, SAMA, KwaZulu-Natal Coastal Branch, they marched and handed over a memo to KwaZulu-Natal authorities, and they subsequently sent the same memo to the DG. And we refer to that as Annexure 1. This is the memo we received on Annexure 1 from SAMA, where doctors were putting their demands. Subsequent, after receiving this memo, I instructed the Director General, along with the executive management, to visit the province to find out, because these are extensive list of concerns that goes far beyond the issue of oncology. It's quite extensive. So we wanted to go and find out. The first visit took place from the 6th to the 7th of June. That means early in June, immediately after we received this memo. And the team was led by the Director General, as I said, Ms. MP Matsoso. And it included all the DDGs in the National Department. The DG of Corporate Services, the name is there, the CFO, the DG of Health Regulation, the DG responsible for HIV, AIDS, and TB, primary health care, the Chief Operating Officer, the DDG responsible for, acting DDG, responsible for hospital tertiary services and human resource development. So almost all DDGs were sent to KwaZulu-Natal, where they spent almost a whole week, not only the 6th and 7th of June, as is written there, unfortunately. I'm going back. this team, in trying to find out the issues that these doctors raised, they visited 5 hospitals, and coincidentally, Addington, one of them, they visited St. Aidan's, King Edward VIII, Prince Mushieni, and Mahatma Gandhi. And after visiting the hospital, the team met with various stakeholders. That includes the doctors who marched, Nehau, Hospesa, Dinosa, Sama, and even some representatives from medical schools to listen to how do they understand these concerns which have been handed over by doctors. They had to make a diagnosis, Chairperson. And I want to emphasize this. I'm working in a field where the way diagnosis is extremely important, because you can have a problem which looks very obvious. If you make a wrong diagnosis, you are going to treat it wrongly. So making the correct diagnosis, in other words, finding out what is the root cause of these problems, because you may end up just seeing symptoms and signs, but what is the root cause? That's why the team had to spend the whole week there. Their diagnosis which they made is more or less consistent with the complaints that have been put up by these doctors. And there are two main areas which became very prominent when they made the diagnosis. The first one was the issue of human resources, the planning, the development, and the management of human resources was found to be extremely wanting, leading to most of this problem, as we explain later. The second very prominent problem is procurement on the supply chain, not only of oncology, of everything. In other words, supply chain does not only supply, I mean, does not only need to deal with equipment, it deals with issues that, things that doctors use every day, consumables, that's the word I was looking for. It deals with consumables and many other issues which you need every day when you have to run a hospital. And this was found to be a problem. And to a lesser extent, there was the issue of financial management, which the Auditor General has also flagged, and the issue of infrastructure maintenance. But as I said, the most prominent one was the human resources. And what was the problem? It was found that the rate at which posts that are vacated by attrition, the rate of filling them is severely slower than attrition, whereby some specialities will have lost at least 50% of their staff over a period of time. So, in other words, there is always natural attrition. People resign, some die, others retire, some move over into private practice. The rate of filling those was quite problematic. So the pressure caused by staff shortage. See, many newly qualified staff leave to join other departments of health and the private sector. I'm not talking about oncologists only, I'm talking generally. So that was the problem that was found. And the vacancies in key positions lead to long acting periods. But it was also found that at the management, the managers, or senior managers of the Department of Health in KwaZulu-Natal have got a very serious disinclination to delegate recruitment functions to facilities, despite the fact that we discuss this almost every time we meet at the National Health Council or MINMEC. The disinclination meaning that you have got many junior people around, you hold the functions to yourself, you don't allow them to do anything, especially the issue of recruitment, then obviously you are going to cause a very serious backlog if you behave like that, unfortunately. The second major area which was prominent is procurement, peculiar to KwaZulu-Natal, which means it was not found in other provinces, this issue, but mostly in KwaZulu-Natal, which is the reason why the crisis is there, not in any other province, is that hospital CEOs on the area of supply chain are delegated 200,000 rand by the HOD for general purchases, that means for what is called goods and services. The department has an internal instruction to gazette any purchase over... No. There are too many zeros there, man. it will lead us to the 14 million issue. Hey, hey. Don't worry. It will lead us to trouble. It's 30. Please remove the second zero next to the three. It's 30,000. In other words, the CEO has a delegation of 200,000, meaning that they can purchase or repair equipment to the value of 200,000 rand. But then they say, if it is more than 30,000, while the person has got the delegation, it must still be gazetted. So it makes the delegation of 200,000 ineffective. In other words, the delegation is on paper, but once it goes beyond 30,000, it must be gazetted. I'll tell you why this to me is a problem or to the team. In addition to this, there is a restrictive delegation of 5,000 rand on equipment, which means on the purchase or maintenance of equipment, the CEO can't go beyond 5,000 rand. Any equipment purchases have to be referred to the Central Technology Unit of the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Health for scrutinizing or specification and also to assist with the purchases in excess of 5,000. Once it's more than 5,000, it must go to this Central Technology Unit. This unit, however, seems not to have acquired the required capacity, leading to very long turnaround times for equipment purchases and maintenance. Now, Chairperson, this whole scenario where people have to gazette for as little as 30,000 rand, it leads to extreme bureaucratization and red tape for procurement process, negatively affecting service delivery, because procurement, members must not regard procurement as only equipment. It has to happen on a continuous basis because hospitals are running. Now, if you have got such a tight bureaucracy, you might be doing it perhaps to stop corruption, but it will definitely clog the system. Things won't just move. And these are some of the things that doctors cite as that those are the things that sort of frustrated them. Several visits were then made to KwaZulu-Natal, and one of them on the 18th of June, led by the corporate services manager, has led to the revised human resource delegations. We thought if, no matter what you do, if you can't delegate to the other junior people, especially those who are running hospitals every day, things will not work. So fortunately, after the visit on the 18th of June, on the 19th, the MEC approved the delegations, which we encourage must start happening now. Subsequently to that, the HOD approved the revised financial delegations on the 21st of July. In other words, we said this whole concept of 200,000, 30,000, 5,000 must just be abolished, and because otherwise things will never improve. And that happened on the 31st of July. While this recommendation on 10.2.6 emerged on the 15th of June in the Human Rights Report, by April, Chairperson, long before that, in April, during the National Health Council, I'll remind the House that the National Health Council is the health MINMEC. It's called the National Health Council, not MINMEC, because unlike the other MINMECs, it includes other spheres of government. We have got SALCA and South African Military Health Services, and it's also a statutory body, which, while other MINMECs are coordinating. So during the National Health Council in April, we were discussing the breast and cervical cancer policy. What should be the policies on breast and cervical cancer? I realize that because breast cancer is the biggest killer of women, followed by cervical cancer. So we've been moving around the country to consult with stakeholders about the best policy. And in April, when this policy was discussed in MINMEC, a resolution was taken for us to do an audit of oncology equipment in all provinces. And that is on Annexure 2. I would like to refer you to that Annexure 10 person now, because I want to show you something that is very important. Almost everybody believes if we wake up with two brand new machines at Addington Hospital tomorrow, then all the problems will be over. But as I said, you have to make a very correct diagnosis. While it's desirable and we've got processes in line to make sure that the issue of machines are repaired there. But this audit that shows a little bit of a different picture. I'll tell you why. If you look at page, or let me put it this way. If you look at all the provinces in the country about oncology equipment, and chairperson, remember, oncology is a super specialty. It can't be found in every hospital. So all over the country, it is found in specific hospitals, especially central hospitals. If you go to page, why still use the page? The page 7 of that document, it says Gauteng Oncology. The province with the highest number of oncology equipment. You know, there are lots of equipment in oncology. Some are diagnostic. Then the one that is actually mentioned deeply in the Human Rights Report is therapeutic. It's what they call a linear accelerator. You know, that's very important. The others, of course, CT scanners, MIR, mammographies, etc. If you look at the report, this report, which was commissioned in April, which was finalized between the 22nd and 23rd of June, if you look at that page 7, you'll find Gauteng Oncology. You'll realize that in terms of linear accelerators, Gauteng has got 4 at Charlotte Maxeke Academic Hospital. Steve Biko Academic Hospital has got 4. So it's a total of 8. That's number 1 in the country. Let me leave. They don't have any in all the other central hospitals. So it means all the patients who need linear accelerators or who need their cancers to be banned by any machine will go to Charlotte Maxeke and Steve Biko. That's Gauteng. If you move to page 16 of that report, no, page 15, you realize that the second highest is Western Cape, where they've got 4 linear accelerators. That's right there at the top, at Tigerberg Hospital, with one of them condemned in 2017, which means they are left with 3 here in the Western Cape. And on page 17, you realize that they've also got 3 linear accelerators at Gauteng Skill Hospital. So that makes them number 2 in the country. Number 3, on page 6, no, starting with page 5, number 3 is actually KwaZulu-Natal. Even with the present problem they are facing of 2 oncology machines not working at Addington, they still become number 3 because they had these 2 linear accelerators, as you can see, in Addington, which are both not functioning. But then they have got 3 at Nkosi Albert Lithuli Academic Hospital and 1 at Grace Hospital. That is on page 6. So they still have got 4 functioning linear accelerators. That makes them number 3 in the country, even with the problem that has been experienced in Addington. Number 4 will be on page 2. That Eastern Cape. They've got only 3 linear accelerators, 2 at Freer Hospital and 1 at Livingston. They become number 4. Number 5 becomes Free State with 2 linear accelerators at Universitas Hospital. And they share this with Northern Cape. Then number 6, is Northwest. They've got only 1 linear accelerator in Klerksdorp. I can't see where Northwest is. Oh, page 13. You see Northwest there, they've got at Klerksdorp Sepong Hospital. The other provinces, Mpumalanga, they've got 0. Limpopo, they've got 0. all of them are using the aid that are in Gauteng. Because anyway, even if you buy them linear accelerators today, they still won't have the senior specialists. As I told you, the reason that those provinces have got zero is because linear accelerators are put only in central hospital. It's a super speciality. You can't put it in any other. And those provinces do not have any central hospital. That's why they've got none, including Northern Cape, which refers to the Free State. What am I trying to run to? I'm trying to show that even if with the two machines not functioning Edenton, you're not supposed to be having a crisis. You're not, according to this audit. So the crisis is contributed to by other things other than the functioning of two machines. And that's why when I reported here, I said very prominent is the issue of human resources and the issue of procurement. Now, Chairperson, I can't remember the date. I met 12 of these oncologists who have left KZN. I had a three-hour meeting with them. One of the issues they raised to me, because I really wanted to find out, because I discovered that even when they left, there was no exit interview. When people leave like that, you do call an exit interview exactly where you are leaving. So there was none, so I called them. One of the issues they raised with me, this is not a criticism, but they raised it with me. They said they are worried. They see a report from the Human Rights Commission talking about oncology and them leaving, but none of them was ever interviewed. And so they still feel very strongly that they need to have been interviewed, because they've got stories to tell. They've got a way to explain. And they said they get worried that it's written there that they've left. And, lots of stories flying around in the media, being debated in parliament, but none of them appeared in front of anybody to say, this is how I left the department, or this is how many of us are leaving. So in the three-hour meeting I had with them, they said, Minister, it's not only affecting us oncologists. It's a human resource issue of the whole province that affect other specialists other than us oncologists. And secondly, Minister, we can't leave because two machines are not working in Edenton when there are other four machines in the province, when we know that other provinces don't even have these four that we are having. So that opened my eyes very clearly and showed me that the report given by the DG and her team is the correct diagnosis. Now, let's go specifically for Edenton Hospital. We started engaging with the manufacturer. I'm sure the MEC reported on this one. Varian, we spoke to the president who was there, and then they gave us the two options. I think the MEC mentioned the two options, whereby one option is to repair both machines, the other is to repair one, so let me pass there. But as an immediate intervention in KwaZulu-Natal to get services going, we propose that the following must happen as a national department: that a critical number of posts, clinical, administrative, logistical, must be filled immediately to ensure the provision of basic standards of services. You'll notice that I'm not saying oncologist and all that. I say clinical. That's a broad range, because Chairperson, also remember, when a patient is sick and they've got cancer, they don't wake up and say, I'm going to an oncologist. They go to hospital, and they might be seen by a gynecologist, who must then decide that this one needs an oncologist. So if you just hire and put oncologist only, and you don't have the other specialties, gynecologists, etc., you will be like roofing a house without, putting a roof without the foundation or walls. So that's why we say clinical. What is the basket of clinical staff, even administrative and logistical staff, that are needed to be filled immediately in KwaZulu-Natal to get the services going? That's what we propose there. We even propose that the health technology unit has dismally failed the province in the effort to purchase and maintain equipment, and this has created a crisis in KwaZulu-Natal. The unit has not demonstrated the necessary capacity to run this function effectively. It should not be allowed, then, to purchase equipment on behalf of institutions, on behalf of hospitals, but rather it must just assist them on developing specifications, monitoring and evaluation, and allow the hospitals to acquire the equipment themselves, because that will be faster. As an urgent intervention, the National Department will purchase medical equipment on behalf of the province. Chairperson, we can't take over the whole function of procurement in KZN, but we said the basic equipment which appears on the national equipment list. Maybe I must explain this concept. At the dawn of democracy in 1994, the Department of Health came with what is called the essential drug list, which is now called the essential medicine list, EML. You don't just buy all the medicines that exist in the market. You get a group of experts they put here, they said, to run your health services, this is the list of the essential. You would then even choose an essential medicine committee, a group of experts, pharmacists, clinicians, etc. You put them there, they are the ones who got you on a yearly basis, that add this one, subtract that one, and these are the reasons. Now, I'm explaining that because we never had the same issue on equipment, but we saw the necessity for this. When was it? Yes, in 2012, we then said we also need an essential equipment list. In other words, a clinic of this description, what equipment does it need? A hospital at the district level, what equipment does it need? We then appointed an essential equipment committee, a committee of experts again, who will guide us. So that committee exists and the list exists. We then realized the slowness of many procurement processes in provinces. We went to the National Treasury and asked that the equipment for all the hospitals in the country, especially the major equipment, must be bought by the chief procurement officer in the National Treasury. They then told us that, okay, they will do that, but they are still doing the work of procuring desks for the schools in the Eastern Cape. As soon as they finish, they will come and help us in health. Unfortunately, that unit had, well, maybe it's not the subject for this meeting. Other problems, as you know, it had left and all that. And so they have not yet done this work for us. But we are saying now, because that central technology unit in KZN has got this problem, we will take over as national and will be guided by the essential equipment list. It will guide us on what to do. And we are not taking that function forever until they get out of this crisis which they are faced with. And we believe existing transversal contracts will be used where applicable. In cases where the RT or transversal contract don't exist, a provincial and national specification committee consisting of clinicians, health technologies, supply chain and finance experts will draw up specifications for an open tendering process. This is what we proposed. But Chairperson, to achieve all these proposals I've made, firstly on human resources and secondly on procurement, we have got to severely disrupt the procurement and supply chain processes in KZN in more ways than one. We've got to disrupt them. I use the word disruption deliberately. And when you disrupt that, you need cooperation from the Premier and the Treasury when you disrupt processes, because some of these processes are provincial processes. We meet that all the time when you ask an MEC, why is this happening in your province? You find that is something that has been agreed on in the Executive Council. So in KZN, if we have to give the medicines I've mentioned, those solutions, we've got to disrupt. Hence, I wrote a letter to the Premier I think on the 5th of August, I wrote and said, Premier, because we are going to disrupt your systems, I'm asking you to convene a meeting where you'll be the convener and come with your technical advisors. I will come with the corporate services team and I'll become the presenter. Then we said, bring your MEC for finance with a technical team. And the MEC for health, of course, will come with the senior management. Then we can't leave the university out because all these central hospitals are linked with universities as Siamese twins. We then said the deputy vice chancellor of University of Natal, who's responsible for the medical school there, and the dean of medical school must attend the meeting. They did come with five heads of departments. And that meeting took place on the 18th of August, which was where all these teams met. And we gave this proposal to them and said, Premier, if we have to get services going, this is what we need to do on human resource. We need to put up a basket of basic needs of clinicians, logistics, etc., and say, this is the basics that we need to get services not getting disrupted or serious backlog. And on procurement, this is what we need. We did exactly that, and this was accepted in the meeting by the Premier himself. And the importance of the Premier and the MEC for Finance is that this will need money. It's not going to be free. It will need money. And at this time of the year, the health budget alone won't meet this demand. It will never. So that's why I said, Premier, we know that we are disrupting what you are doing. The health department cannot solve this problem alone. It needs the whole province to sit together. So on the after that agreement, on the 28th of August to the 1st of September, that means the whole week, I sent a team again to KwaZulu-Natal to coordinate all these activities. That means to coordinate with the Premier's office, with the Treasury, with the University of the Department. And the team was led by Ms. Valerie Rainey, who was the task team leader. And we also got a human resource person there and a supply chain leader and a supply chain technical support and a health technology technical support, because these people have got skills. We said, go to KwaZulu-Natal for the whole week, for this whole week, that is 28th to 1st. Sit in the Department of Health, start coordinating these activities, because we know it won't necessarily happen if there's nobody driving it. And then, in other words, call the university, call the Premier's office, call the Treasury, deal with the department, ask them on what to do. Now, progress, I'm reporting progress from that team, because they had to work for the whole week. The progress is that they agreed that from the 1st of October, the delegations at central hospitals in KwaZulu-Natal will be raised to R500,000 with appropriate standard operating procedures. This is very important because some people use common sense to do these things. That's why they fail. You need standard operating procedures. So from the 1st of October, a person running a central hospital in KwaZulu-Natal will have delegations of R500,000. With the standard operating procedures. Procurement delegations of the 200,000 will no longer be subjected to the red tape of gazetting for anything above 30,000. And this will be abolished from the 1st of October. In other words, in the hospitals where the delegation is 200,000, you don't then tell the CEO that if it's more than 30,000, there must be gazetting. It shouldn't happen. And we said this must be abolished from the 1st of October. For Addington Hospital, we thought option 2 will be appropriate, and it was agreed upon last week, option 2, which the MEC read here. Option 2 being what? The province will start processes of repairing one machine. We, at the national level, through our procurement processes, will procure a brand new machine and follow that option. And that process has been agreed upon last week. It will start. The provincial treasury team, the team of the provincial treasury chairperson, I must report this, have already developed a transversal SLA for maintenance of medical equipment for a stipulated period of 5 years and is targeted to commence on the 1st of October. In other words, we said that process of medical equipment maintenance must be controlled by the provincial treasury as of the 1st of October, and they must draw an SLA for the next 5 years. And as further progress, Chairperson, when the team left KwaZulu-Natal last week, a list of minimum critical posts is being compiled. I told you about that proposal of critical posts. It's being compiled. It will be costed. That list was expected today. If we were not called here, Ms. Valerie Rene would have gone there to receive this report, which will hand to the Premier and said the team has completed doing its work, Mr. Premier, and in terms of human resources, this is what is needed, this is what it will cost, because it's only your province that can provide that. We can only help you with the work and advice. So that work was expected today. It means she'll go there tomorrow to receive that report and see how much it costs. The MEC for Treasury has also made progress in dealing with these huge problems of procurement, especially at Addington. For instance, she has instituted a forensic audit into the acquiring of the contract to maintain the oncology machines at Addington Hospital. And Chairperson, I'm happy to announce that the DDG of Corporate Services at National has just received an invitation that on Friday she must come to the Department of Finance in KZN. They are going to release the results of this forensic audit. What happened that led to the collapse of the equipment at Addington Hospital in terms of maintenance, right? This is different, Chairperson, from the procurement of the service from TechMed, because another investigation has already been done by Treasury, the Chief Procurement Officer, and the Accountant General. That's it, at a higher level. Because while the disaster happened in KZN with this oncology equipment, I must disclose to this house that this company called TechMed was also providing equipment in Gauteng and Northwest. And the type of things happened there, you hear them when they release the report. It's not done by us. It was done by Treasury. And because there were lots of things which were not very happy, which cannot make any person happy. And we expect the Hawks to get very active in that regard and do something very serious. The Premier has also appointed Professor Green Thompson, the former head of KwaZulu-Natal Department of Health, to project manage all these activities. In other words, all these things I'm mentioning. I'm sending Ms. Tanreni, she spends a week there, but we need a full-time project manager. And the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal said Professor Green Thompson, because of his understanding of the field, the fact that he was the first HOD of health in KwaZulu-Natal, understand where all these things have started, is a full-time manager of this whole project. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, MEC and the Minister, for such a comprehensive report. Honourable members, I will then give you time for clarities, comments, and questions. I'm again requesting phones must be on silent. Somebody's phone was ringing on my left-hand side, and that is not allowed to disturb us. Honourable members, over to you. Honourable Imam Sheikh, Honourable Kopan, Honourable Thembe Kwayo, Honourable Mahlalela, Honourable James, Honourable Mahlalela, thank you. Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start off by thanking and welcoming both the National Department and the Province of KwaZulu-Natal for their presentations. What we've heard is quite alarming. There appears to be some processes in place to remedy the situation, and for that I think we welcome that. But I want to start off, Chair, by expressing my concern that the matter goes to the extent where the lives of the people are affected. Yet, we have so many oversight structures in government with billions of rands being spent in terms of paying people, whether you're talking about a national parliamentary level, whether you're talking about the provincial level, at the local levels, in the department levels, and yet we allow this to escalate to the extent it has, that we now find looking for solutions after the fact rather than preventing the situation. Now, in my view, Chairperson, there appears to be a gap. Despite all the efforts we are putting together, the gap is the gap between the people on the ground and us as public representatives. Now, for starters, it's my understanding the department and the provincial legislature's portfolio committee should have picked up these problems long before that. Where is that communication between the people on the ground that we don't hear about these things and we're now hearing when the problems have already been created and it's at a serious situation that we confront ourselves? So clearly, I think it's an area that we need to look at, so we can close that gap and timeously get information that can help us to be able to address this and prevent the situation. That's the first thing. And I have alluded to that previously, because what also happens, and I can tell you from my personal experience in national level, we are all answerable to our political parties. Whether I come to work or I don't come to work, nobody knows, but I get paid. But what is my responsibility of being on a portfolio committee? Why am I there? I'm supposed to do oversight. Am I doing the oversight? Who is checking? Nothing. I can tell you that especially KwaZulu-Natal, Chairperson, spends about the highest amount of money, and I'm not talking about the Department of Health, as a whole, in terms of overseas trips and people traveling all over the world and oversight, but nothing is happening. And I think these are the things that we need to address. Closer cooperation and between the people and communication between the people on the ground and us, so that we can close this gap and find these solutions. And that is what the problem is. It's not about just finding problems, but it's to prevent. And I know what the minister has always said. He would rather go the route of prevention rather than cure. And that is the route we need to go. But that is the first thing. Now, I also wanted some explanation when we say that you may have four machines, and if two is not working, it really may not have that negative impact. But then what happens when the other two is 200 kilometers away, 300 kilometers away in the province? How does it help if those patients that are traveling to a particular? An example is you're being treated at Addington Hospital and you've got machines that are now available in Richards Bay or somewhere else. You know, how is it actually going to assist if the machines are not working? Now, I do realize that there are serious challenges in terms of the supply management, and I think the minister has alluded to a report where you found that the technical department, I think if that's the term, had actually failed. I want to know that those people, the health technology unit that you're talking about, that has dismally failed. Now, what is going to happen? Because what I failed to find repeatedly is consequences for mismanagement and failing to comply. What has happened to these people in this unit who we are now saying have dismally failed, cannot perform, they don't have the capacity? Are we still keeping them? Are we still paying them to bring the organization into disrepute? What is the situation in terms of that? Chair, I don't know if you're limiting us to any questions, because there's so much here that we've actually picked up. The other thing is this: we seem to have a serious problem of oncologists in the country, or specialists in a lot of fields, in the medical field. I don't know why, because I know we were having a problem with GPs, and I believe that that has been solved. Maybe we need a greater explanation. What is the problem? Why can't we? What is your role in terms of working with the tertiary institutions about attracting people, about why we're losing them, why can't we keep them, are we not paying them enough? I know we heard about the benefits and things, but what are we going to do? And whether it's cost-effective to be able to get the services of private oncologists, or should we be attracting money? For now, if it means we have to import them, so be it, because it's the lives of our people that are at risk. What is your program, and what are you intending to do about that to attract more and retain these people? I'll stop there for now and come back, Chair, while I give my colleagues an opportunity.
Honourable Cooper.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Honorable Minister, thank you so much for your presentation because you really highlighted what is the critical problems. And your presentation clearly shows there's a serious problem. But I also appreciate your rapid response, how you are going to deal with that. It is unfortunate all this happened after many people have lost their life. We cannot run away from that. Because according to the South African Human Rights Commission, they clearly say that more than 300 people have died because of this. Honorable MEC, I also want to thank you for your presentation. But somehow, I don't want to say that you're sort of sugarcoating the real problems of, I don't know. But I just wanted to find out from you, the South African Human Rights Commission, when they were here, they clearly say that they were denied an access to do the inspection. If maybe you can highlight it to us, why were they not given opportunity to do oversight or to do their job as required by the Constitution? And the other thing that I also want to find out from you, because they also said that you did not supply them with a list of people who died. If maybe you can explain to us why they were not being given the list of those people who died, because I think it's one of the things that was going to help them to do their job. I want to find out how long will the private sector will be providing the assistance to the department in the meantime while we're still trying to sort some other problems. The other problem that is still a problem, it is still a backlog despite all the rapid intervention that the Honourable Minister alluded that is going to be done. Because according to the report, even to the Human Rights Commission themselves, they clearly say that in KwaZulu-Natal, for a cancer patient to be seen by oncologists, it takes 5 months. For a cancer patient to receive any oncology treatment, either chemotherapy or radiation, it's stated that in the report they stay about 8 months before they receive the treatment. Now, I want to find out now what is the current status regarding the waiting period of the patients that have been affected. That is the other thing. Honorable Minister, it also appears that in KwaZulu-Natal, there's the oncology currently is facing there's a matter before the court regarding the awarding of contract. If maybe you can explain to us what exactly transpired there regarding that contract, and why is the matter before the court, and how much have they been paid since the awarding of the contract to them, and for what work they were paid for those people that they take the department to court. Chair, my other problem or my other question that I want to find out is with regard to the litigations that are also there. I want to find out, has the department received notice of litigations for loss of life arising from this crisis? If so, how much is being advanced by these litigants, if we can understand that? I think for now, Chair, I'll stop here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I would also like to thank the Minister for the quick intervention regarding this problem experienced. And to name just a few, about the scrapping of the gazetting of the 30, any other monies that are beyond 30,000, I think it will help in the working environment. But more specifically to the MEC, I just, even though some of the points that I would have loved to address has been addressed by my colleagues, but I just wanted to say, in connection with the patients that are seen by the hospitals on daily basis. A mention was made on page 3 to say, on average, the institution sees 120 to 140 patients a day. And also on page 2, Grey Hospital treats an average of 100 to 120 patients a day. And then there was a mention from the Human Rights Commission to say that they had a contract with private oncologists who would come once a week for 2 hours. Which my question was, how possible is it? How many patients is that private oncologist able to see within 2 hours' time? Which triggered also the same question for me to ask about the contract, the JMH contract that definitely is envisaged. And it is mentioned here that the contract will cater for 100 to 150 patients per month. Ne? I don't know how comparable are the two entities. In a hospital, 100 to 120 per day of patients as compared to the contract, which according to me can still lead to an oncologist contracted for 2 hours a week, and that will at the same time be the same as contributing towards the backlog of patients in general. So I just would like you to revisit this aspect so that we don't have to have oncologists on contract, but that in the ultimate end does not address the backlog as it is experienced as it is. And secondly, I'm still going to talk about the shortage of oncologists. It was also mentioned during that presentation that vacant posts of oncologists are advertised, but none of them is interested in applying for that post. What is a guarantee that in future we will have oncologists that would definitely apply for that thing? Even though on page 4, mention is made that the hospitals has, however, engaged the two registrars that are completing their training time as specialists. What about if those two can be able to meet with those oncologists that were interviewed by the minister, and they are also encouraged negatively to say you don't have to apply to that because of the disadvantages that were mentioned in the ultimate end. So in the we need to fill up the post of the oncologists, because as it is said, it's the lives that are lost in South Africa and elsewhere. Thank you.
Honourable James.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, we welcome the response from the MEC first, and also the presentation from the minister. Let me say, maybe first say that I'm actually very happy that you started your presentation with the information of the South African Medical Association, because that was the first problem that we saw, that was a problem in KZN when they marched to the department. We knew then there was a problem before the oncology crisis came up. I would like to know how is that being addressed? All the grievances that they've put up, the shortage of medical staff, frozen posts, which is something that you brought in. You did come and report to us a bit about that when we questioned you about the oncology. You said it has started from the doctors marching to the department. How is that? What interventions are there in place to remedy
their concerns. That is the first one. Secondly, Minister, I must say that you already painted a grim picture of oncology in the country. It's not only KZN. Seemingly, we have to look at the whole country. And Chair would like to begin to look at the provinces again to come and give us a report on, and also on the interventions on or how are they going to, how are they managing our oncology patients, because my biggest frustration is the oncology patients that are in the clinics. How do they, how are they going to travel? For instance, a patient from Kwamstani Clinic at KZN, how far are they ever going to, I mean, the roads, and I'm just thinking that, you know, the poor of the poorest are really left out. Even in the interventions that the minister have just gave report on. I would like to provide us with information of how many oncology patients are there in the province, okay, that, you know, because when we now want to know, and how are they managed from the rural areas, also on the urban areas, because the rural areas, I know, they're always left out. And also, how many cancer patients died during this crisis? Does the patients in the rural areas have access to oncology services in the province? And how, if so, how? How do they get there? Because I have a feeling that they are left out. They don't get the privilege of getting the oncology assistance. Also, the waiting list for diagnosis of the treatment of cancer. How long is the waiting list? Also, the temporal interventions of the private oncologists. How long is that going to take? Is it going to be 3 months or the month-to-month basis? But for how long? Do we have a budget for that? That it continues, it doesn't lapse in between, and we have patients that are, you know, left after this whole crisis in KZN. My other concern, Minister, is you hearing very late about the crisis in that province. And Seemingly, there is no good communication between yourselves, national and the provinces. Because if you remember, even in during the mental health crisis, you had late and you were not very much involved, and there was this vacuum between the two, the province and national, which I would like you to address. Is there a problem with you working with the different provincial MECs of health, which opens this gap of them, of you finding later, you know, that there is a crisis in the province? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, and let's join the colleagues to welcome the presentation by the Minister and the MEC in relation to this report of Human Rights Commission. Well, my beginning will be on the findings of just to get a view from the MEC on the findings by the Human Rights Commission, which is very key to me, that the what is your view on the findings that says you the department has violated the rights of patients, especially in the two hospitals, to have access to healthcare services as a result of the failure to comply with the applicable norms, standards as set out in the legislations and policies. Just to get an understanding, whether do you share the same sentiments with the Human Rights Commission in relation to this matter, or you've got a different view into it? And if you do have a different view, then you just share with us what is your view on that matter. And then the second issue, one will have still want to, because I thought you might start with it, to share with us, according to the Human Rights Commission, a report on 6.3.3, they are saying you have not responded to them. And in their view, the non-responsiveness by yourself, it's a contravention of the South African Human Rights Commission's Act, which requires your cooperation with the Commission when they are doing an investigation. And therefore, your failure to respond, it means you are not cooperative to them. What could have been the reason behind that for your non-response and your non-cooperation with the Human Rights Commission when they were dealing with this report? I'm raising this in the context that the conclusion that they might have arrived at with your participation, it might have been different, I don't know, if there was that political response and political management of the process. The conclusion might have been a little bit different because as a political head, you might have been able to share certain things that maybe the administration might not have been able to share with the Human Rights Commission. If you can just clarify that area so that we understand it. And then the third issue that I just want to raise is the extent to which the department has got the necessary, I would say adequate, it might not be enough, but adequate resources to provide healthcare services in the province. I'm raising this in the context that one of the issues that you responded to the Human Rights Commission by the accounting officer, the HOT, on page 9 was that you had to do some cost curtailment measures because of the scarce resources. How deep is the problem of the resources in the province? How serious is it? And to what extent, therefore, does it make a contribution to the crisis that has been reported by the Human Rights Commission? And then there has been a huge amount of oncologists or professionals, medical officers, specialists leaving the department. Have you established the reason? Because one of the recommendations by the Human Rights Commission is that you must have a retention strategy. And you can only have a retention strategy having understood the reason for them leaving. Have you understood? Because the minister was saying, no, very strangely, there was no exit interviews when they left. What could have been the reason for not trying to understand why they're leaving? Because that's what critical as they are, would have expected the province, when these specialists are leaving, to be able to understand the reason behind. Or you are aware of the reasons, hence you didn't bother to even try and understand through the exit interviews, so that you are then understanding and then be able to intervene on that matter. When you are supplying the report to the Human Rights Commission, you are in the two hospitals in particular, that is your Addington and Inkosi Albert Luthuli, you had a certain number of specialists and medical officers. That is, in Addington you had 3 specialists, 2 medical officers. At Inkosi Albert Luthuli, 1 specialist and 4. What is the current state of the affairs now? Is it still the same? And what is required if the staff establishment has to be 100%? What does this number represent in terms of percentages? Where are you standing in terms of percentages in relation to these issues? And then the other issue that was raised was the issue of the challenge around the service maintenance agreement, which in your response, firstly, you're saying it's a matter that is going to be very difficult to conclude it urgently because there are some investigations on how some of the machines were acquired by the National Treasury. Is it the same issue that the minister is raising, that there has been an investigation into TechMed? And if that is so, is that in your view, are you aware how far with the investigation? And then so that you are able to have an understanding and how serious is the matter? And to what extent will that matter be concluded so that we are able, therefore, to finalize the issue of the service management maintenance agreement so that we are able to begin to maintain certain machines once that issue is resolved. And then the other issue that was raised, just to have an understanding that some of the machines were not being utilized, not because they were not functioning, but because the staff were not able to use them. How far with the process of training and making sure that those staffs have got the necessary skills and the capacity to use them, so that you don't have, do you have a timeline and a time period in which you intend to conclude this training, so that they are able, therefore, to be utilized by the officials. Because the report says the staff had not been trained on the newly installed radiotherapy machines in some hospitals. So I'm not sure whether it was in Chief Albert Luthuli or in Nkosi Albert Luthuli or in the Addington. But one of the hospitals, there were those machines that machines that were not utilized because the staff were not trained to do so. Uh, As I have indicated, there seems to be not just the issue of the challenge, if you can just share with us, not that the issue of the specialists that are leaving. There seems to be, according to the report, a senior management instability because of the many positions in the senior management echelon not being filled. What is the state of the affairs in relation to that matter? Because the report says, for example, even the head of, the head of oncology in Chief Albert Tulitulu, as we speak. So there seems to be a senior management as well. Challenges around filling senior management position in the department. Where do we stand in relation to that matter? So that at least we understand whether you will be able to bring that stability and make sure that the issues are resolved. And then coming to the presentation, Minister, that you've made, just few issues, one or two issues. One, does the National Department have an early warning system? And if it does, is it working? Why do we find ourselves in a situation where you will have to have Chapter 9 institutions coming in without the National Department having an intervention into some of the issues? Just to have an understanding how the system works, so that we were able to have the same understanding whether is it related, maybe still related to what the ombuds has raised about the current arrangement of the concurrent function, which then creates a problem in terms of the National Department having the necessary capacity to be able to monitor, intervene, and deal with the challenges that confront the health system in the country. I'll end that too.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. What we'll do, just for 5 to 10 minutes, tease outside and allow both the minister and the MEC just to how you will respond will be dependent on you. But we'll have a 10 minutes break to allow you to prepare for your responses. And Honourable James, sorry.
My apology, Chair. Just wanted to ask one question, just to add it on before. Can I?
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The one question is around our MPs who did oversight in KZN. I'm just trying to find out here, does have the MEC the right or the capacity to decline members of parliament when they're doing their oversight, because it's one of their responsibilities? I just want you to give us that clarity. That is one. And also, I'm just concerned that Prof. Green has a dodgy record. I'm not sure. I would just hope that he will be the right person to assist with the cleaning up of the mess that's in the oncology department in KZN.
Honourable,
just one question, Chairperson. There's one issue, Chair, which Honourable Emma have raised with regards to the distance. I just want to check with the MEC whether is there any possibility that the department can provide transport to patients who need access to these services where in their area where they are residing these services are not provided. So that, you know, we don't neglect the needs of those patients. But at least as a department, we are able to ferry patients using your hospital transport, taking them from one area to another area so that they can get the services. Because Gauteng is doing that. You know, and it's easier to minimize the waiting list and ensure that people are getting services, and you are reducing the waiting list also. Thank you very much.
No, comrade, I'm sorry. No, members, no. No, I'm not. No, no, no. Can I speak, Honorable Kopan? Can I speak, Honorable Kopan? It's only that I didn't notice Honorable Ndaba, and I apologize for that. But in me allowing Honorable James, can that not be abused? Because everybody now will want to add. We will see in terms of time to if then we cannot have another round. I'm humbly requesting, because it's really going to open up. Everybody will want some addition. Will it, when they, after they've responded, we'll then give you another round. Thank you. Can we have tea for 10 minutes?